A one, a two, a one, two, three.
What?
Welcome to Classical Baddies. My name is Sophia.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Nisha. And today we're going to be talking about our origin stories.
Woo!
Villain origin stories. Always love it.
Yes. So evil. It's not spooky season anymore, so.
I'm still in the spirit.
It's always spooky season.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
It's a state of mind.
So we all came from the same voice studio. Katie just found it earlier. But how did you find our teacher?
The way that I found our teacher was kind of by coincidence. One of the girls in my school at the time was doing singing lessons at the dance studio near my house. And I was like, well, I want to do that too. Because I always loved music and I was playing piano at the time and I loved it. So I was like, well, I'm going to sing. And my mom talked to the lady who ran the studio. She hooked me up with our teacher and she took me on. I had an audition per se, as most of the people who did in the studio, but I didn't know I was having mine. And I guess she saw me at my 12-year-old stage of being sad, which is an understatement, and was like, I'm gonna teach that kid.
Well, you know, your little trial run that she does for us.
Oh, yeah, right.
Your trial run was in one of my lessons.
Yeah, I didn't even realize I was auditioned.
Neither did I.
I always remember our teacher saying that Katie used to be so quiet, like you barely used to talk.
I was pretty quiet back then. I was really anxious and nervous, and that was really the first place I had that I felt like I could be heard.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So our old teacher, for the purpose of keeping her confidentiality, I think we'll call her Beth, changed all of our lives. So with Katie, she definitely made her come out of her shell and become a much more loud and present human being.
I think I was 13. I just turned 13 when I walked into her door. I was emo and depressed and nothing like I am today, although I still am emo. Can't take that from me.
So then I was the next to find Beth. Me and Sophia both found classical music pretty late, or even just, you know, a voice teacher pretty late. I was in grade 11 when I first started taking lessons. I just went there because I've always really liked singing and I just wanted something as kind of a hobby. But Beth, she used to be trained in classical music. And so she made all of her students sing classical music, right? And I just kind of fell in love with it, I guess. Yeah. What about you, Sophia?
I mean, the story's kind of funny about how I ended up at our teacher's doorstep, because it was something I'd always been interested in, but something my parents weren't willing to pay for. Not to trash them in any way, but I had finally gotten like a job so I could afford to pay for lessons. And I was in musical theater. I wanted to learn how to sing Broadway. I wanted to sing musical theater. That was my dream. Yeah, all the way theater kid. And it was I was in grade 12, so I think I was 17. And Katie and I didn't really know each other that well at the time, but we had a mutual friend. We had like a mutual best friend who was supposed to take an open slot in the studio. However, she fell through, so Katie took me instead. And we like barely knew each other. She drove me to the studio and I sat in on her lesson and she had to sing in front of me.
So awkward for me. But I felt so awkward driving in the car to the studio. I was trying to make small talk and I was like, I know nothing about this woman. What am I gonna say?
Yeah.
In our lives, we're never the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My gosh. Yeah. No, I'm glad we did that. I'm so glad we did that. That's totally an understatement. Yeah. And then, you know, I wanted to learn musical theater. And then I first started singing like more pop stuff and I was singing a lot of rock, which is what I wanted to sing. And then, you know, our teacher looked at me at some point. She goes, Sophia, that's a classical instrument right there. She goes, you can sing all the rock and all the stuff in musical theater you want. She goes, but one day you will flip to the dark side. And she was right. I flipped to the dark side.
Less vocal tension.
I know that we all went in there with something. I was like, oh, I want to sing musical theater too. Like, you know, I think Katie went in there wanting to sing punk music or something like that.
Yeah, I wanted to sing punk, pop punk. I wanted to learn how to scream because I was really into screamo at the time. And she looked at me and she went, maybe. And it never happened.
Once she kind of covets you for classical music, you're not really allowed allowed to sing much else.
Actually, within my first year, she was like, you're going to be a soprano. I can guarantee.
Well, listen,
8 years later, I'm not a soprano necessarily.
That's for a later time.
Well, actually, no, it's not. This is our origin story, so.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's not. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, once I started singing properly, she was like, you're not a soprano. And, well, I don't believe that you're a soprano because of the timbre of my voice and where it sits. But I feel like both of you, I know you can understand that because you're both larger voices as well, which are, yeah, I think, more difficult to figure out, as I've heard from teachers.
Well, I think the thing we have in common between the three of us, I think the thing that we all have in common is that it's going to take us to like 30s for our voices to develop.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. The thing I've heard the most in opera is it's a hurry up and wait game.
Yeah.
How many times have you guys heard that? Hurry up and wait?
Just now. Sorry.
Wow, you're lucky.
Yeah.
Every teacher I've had who understands larger voices better because they have one themselves or have taught more larger voices has always told me that, you know, you're going to work really, really hard and then one day it's going to click and you're...
Hopefully.
Hopefully. You know, I have dreams.
One day it'll work out. No.
Maybe one day I'll sing on a stage.
Without feeling like we're going to pass out.
Without being like, maybe this is the day that I die.
I think... Okay, so I was in the voice studio for about a year and a half before my audition to the university that I'm currently at, which, by the way, is an insanely short amount of time. Everyone else who auditioned had been singing for 6 years, and that scared me so much. Actually, Beth said that she didn't think that I'd get into the university that I'm currently in, but, you know, she said to go to the other university that I was applying to that was kind of a smaller program that I had a better chance of getting into.
Yeah.
I auditioned to both. I was like, I'm gonna try it anyways, like, because this is my goal, but I'll be okay if I don't get it. And then I did, which was exciting. When I went in for my audition, I was so scared. I felt like I was going to pass out, pee myself, vomit, and cry all at the same time. I feel like I've said this already. You get to hear it again, but that's just what it's like when you're new to singing, because it's just such a vulnerable part of yourself that you're putting out there, and you're literally being like, here's a part of me, judge it harshly and tell me if I'm worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, voices are one of the instruments that you can't replace.
Well, yeah, you can go buy a new saxophone, but you can't get a new vocal box.
Voice box?
Yeah.
And voice vocal box. Cords?
Yeah.
Okay, Sophia, your origin story. I feel like we forgot to...
No, I told you how I showed up at the studio.
Yeah.
Or do you want my, like, X Factor style one where it's like, I came from a musical family. My dad is a musician. My dad is a musician, though, but he plays a lot more, like, folksy stuff. Like, he plays guitar, bass guitar. He did a lot of coffee shops, some bars. Yeah, stuff's... And he wrote a lot of music as... I guess he still writes. He writes a lot of music still. So, yeah, it's very different. So my dad is a musician, but musically it's quite different. So I do come from a musical family. If you want my X Factor backstory, I'm just...
No sob stories here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know...
Unless you want to talk about all the times that I've cried.
It's an emotional thing, singing. It honestly is.
It is very vulnerable, but classical music, I've always found that I can at least put a mask on it so that it's not just me singing. It's me pretending to be, or acting, if I could actually act, as a character.
You know, oddly, I feel that way about musical theater, but not classical music. I think that, okay, this might make a couple people mad. From my personal experience, singing classical music is more difficult for me. It could be different for everyone else. You know, there are some people who are phenomenally talented at musical theater and I could not do what they do. But for me, in what I've learned and what I've trained in, classical music is more difficult. And I've done both. And I just feel that doing musical theater, I feel much more comfortable. It's a lot easier for me to just slip into that character and sing that role. But the amount of technique and thought that goes into classical music and the muscle work that it takes, it takes a lot of effort for me to do the same thing, you know? To forget that I'm singing.
Yeah, I get it. Because I totally get that. Because I find musical theater, I go like totally into character if I'm performing. And then I could throw myself around the stage. I can dance. I can act. And then I go into classical and it's time to sing.
Yeah.
And while I can put that emotion into that performance, it takes a lot more, especially because I find when I'm singing classical, I have to kind of build the song up more layer by layer rather than just going for it. Yeah. I mean, because there's the couple more elements I find go into it. I mean, but I think it's also partially going from like a more popular style into classical. My body wasn't as used to it, especially because I didn't come from this world. You know, I grew up to listening to some classical music. Opera was never like a part of my life until I started singing it and discovered that I really, really liked it. So musical theater was just something I was so much more familiar with, was really what it was. And I think that's probably why. It's just I was more used to it and it was easier to slip into it.
Well, you know, another thing might be we've never been critiqued as harshly on musical theater as we've been critiqued on classical music.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Anytime we've sung musical theater, because we have pretty decent technique, like, it's always just been like, that's good, like, you're doing well, like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't care as much.
Yeah.
Our teachers, not people in general, just our teachers. So when we sing classical music, they are examining every facet of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I always found that for me, because I didn't do musical theater at all. I wasn't a musical theater kid. I was friends with all the musical theater kids for the most part.
How are you pronouncing that?
Why are you saying it like that?
Why are you saying it like that?
Katie, it's theater.
But a T-H-E-A.
Theater. Theater. Not theater.
Theater. I don't say theater.
Yeah, you do. And it's not a theater.
Movie theater. No, I say musical theater.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It's just how
there's no
it.
H in the middle of that. It's not theater. It's
an E vowel.
Theater.
Yeah.
Theater. Musical theater.
Moving on. What were you saying about the theater?
Anyways.
That's like when people say bagel instead of bagel.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bagel.
It's a bagel. And you stop bagel. It right like now.
Bagel.
Yeah. Bagel.
Bagel.
Yeah.
Now
bagel.
You're saying it right.
Eat bagel.
Yeah, but it's not a bagel. Bagel.
I just said that. Just give them an hour of us going bagel. Anyways, I wasn't a musical theater kid.
Yes.
I was friends with them, but I just wasn't in it. Never did acting. I didn't sing musical theater. I sang punk. So opera was the acting for me.
It just makes me think the first time I ever heard you sing, Katie, was your classical voice lesson. The second time I heard you sing was Stacy's mom.
Really?
I think when Sophia got there, we were doing less of the studio classes where we would all get together and practice for the festivals.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of those. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to be together all the time practicing in front of each other. And the reason it didn't happen when Sophia was there, it was because we didn't do the festival that year.
Yeah. The year before we did festival.
Yeah.
Or well, more accurately, Nusha did festival.
Was it just me?
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to go, remember? Right. But then circumstances changed that.
But I remember the year before that, that's the year that we were doing Stepsisters Lament together.
Yes. Oh, I remember that. We worked really hard on that. And I felt so ridiculous when we performed
it. Oh, God, I felt so dumb. Well, because, you know, what happened was we were supposed to go. We had a bunch of performances that day. And we did one song and we were supposed to have like 20, 30 minutes in between. Or no, even like an hour between that and Stepsisters Lament. Yeah. And all of a sudden they're like, all these people aren't here. You have to go right now. And we had to change and we had to do makeup and we had to, you know, not be panting and out of breath. And it was just so stressful.
It was honestly a little bit embarrassing.
It was, yeah.
But it was still fun when we practiced it. I loved practicing that, and I loved seeing other people get to practice their stuff. And I think that's one thing that I really miss about studios, especially, is seeing everybody that you know or making friends with in your studio.
Mm-hmm. Watching them progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that sense of community you have within your studio.
Well, there used to be this like kind of fierce amount of protectiveness about your studio mate. There's still a bit of that in university, but not as much, because for me it's a bit different. I've switched so many studios that I have had new people and different people every year, but the few of us that have kind of stuck together through it, we have a bit of that camaraderie. But I feel like in normal studios, like, there you just kind of have this fierce protectiveness about each other and like the way you're teaching, and
you almost become like a family, especially when you spend so much time together.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm technically in a private studio right now. It just everyone's on the other side of the country, so I don't know anybody. Yeah.
Along with getting to know everybody and becoming a family was the studio concerts.
Oh my god.
Which were like really the time for everybody to celebrate how hard they'd work.
Yeah.
And see each other and just have a good time.
And pull a song, sometimes just pull a song out of thin air because you totally forgot to practice something or you were busy. But like in the first years that you're in the studio, you know, you take it seriously. It's the only thing you're working on and you're working super, super hard. But, you know, once you leave and you're doing different things and you're busy and they're like, well, you need to sing something at this concert. You're like, what am I supposed to sing?
Yeah, when it's like Christmas and you're like, you want me to sing a Christmas song?
Yeah, well, I remember the year that I was planning on getting my wisdom teeth out, so I wasn't technically supposed to be singing, and even if I did sing something, it wasn't going to be well. You know, everyone knew I had my wisdom teeth out, so I hadn't really practiced anything. And then my wisdom teeth removal got canceled, like, last minute, like, on the day of, and it was, like, 2 days before the concert, and I was like, oh my god, now I have to have something prepared well.
I feel that. I remember, I think this was your first year, Nisha, and I was singing a jazz Christmas song, and I had forgotten that I was supposed to wear a dress. So I show up in jeans and a sweater. Granted, it was a Christmas sweater. Mm-hmm. So I sang in a Christmas sweater, and Beth was unhappy. And she let me know about it.
Yeah, I remember my first Christmas concert at the studios, my first time singing in front of like a group of people and singing classically, and I hadn't been singing very long, and I was so nervous. I remember Beth came up to me afterwards, gave me a hug, and told me how proud of me she was. Oh. And she goes, I know how hard you worked. She goes, I want to let you know that you sounded beautiful, and I'm so proud of you. And I almost burst into tears.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Beth was so sweet in the first year that you're in the studio, you know, because she's so supportive. She wants to make you feel welcomed. But after that, she knows you can handle it, so she's brutally honest.
You're right.
But, you know, it helps in the long run.
Yeah.
And she always does it with love. She's always wanted all of us and anybody who's ever been in her studio to succeed.
Yeah, and exactly. She's always like your biggest cheerleader as well. Like you'd know she was always in your corner.
I remember my first studio performance. Well, so I came into the studio in September and Christmas was the performance. And, you know, I was new to the studio, new to singing. And she's like, yeah, so you're going to be singing in the Christmas concert. I was like, I'm going to be singing in what? I've been singing for 3 months and you want me to sing in what? Yeah. In front of all of these people? I was so scared during the performance. Like, if there's recordings of it that my parents have, and you cannot see anything but the whites of my eyes. I'm staring at the ceiling the whole time.
I remember your first performance.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
Yeah, it was cute.
It was cute.
Like, well, now when I look back, I'm like, oh, young.
I believe in the power of.
And I remember being like, oh, we have a new student. Because I hadn't met you before.
Well, you met me at the rehearsals for the Christmas concert.
That's true. But like,
I think it's funny.
Was distracted.
Well, no, I was gonna say, like, it's funny because you and Sophia weren't really friends when you came into the studio. I know that we weren't really friends when I came into the studio. It took us all a while to warm up to each other.
I remember the first time, like, the three of us were together was when we were extras in a movie together. Because Katie's cousin was working on the set. Like, that's the first time the three of us, like, spent, like, an extended period of time.
It's funny because me and Katie were actually, like, good friends at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But me and Sophia hadn't really talked.
Yeah.
But me and Katie got in a big argument that day. Well, anyways, we're not going to talk about this.
I mean,
Katie's parallel parking abilities.
Not good. And I felt so bad, but I didn't know, like, what to do or say after that, because I was like, what do I do?
So we all went into the ice cream place and, like, weren't talking.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the only people, the only person that you could talk to was Soph. And
yeah, and I remember the three of us kind of like winding up having to stick together there because there were some girls who were like so rude, and they're like, you've never done extra work before, why don't you have like 16 different outfits? And we're like,
what agency are you from?
I don't know. We showed up. Gosh, and I remember we had to dance and there was like no music. It's just that really strange beat.
You know what the really funny thing is? When we were filming that movie, I was like, what is this odd music? I bet they're going to change it in post, but like, couldn't they have given us something better to dance to? And then we went to the premiere and it was the same music.
You know, we just had the weirdest getting together of friendship. It just...
Who?
Us.
All of us.
Like,
yeah, because we met in the studio. I think you picked me.
Me?
And... Yeah, you.
Yes, I picked my friends.
Yes, and then I picked Soph.
I was her second choice after the other girl.
Oh, yes. No, you were not. I just didn't know you at the time.
Yeah, fair enough.
You can't name me.
And then I remember that, you know, Katie introduced me to Sophia, and I was like, not a fan.
Yes, I do remember that.
It was just like our personalities didn't match at the time.
Yeah, I think it's also because you and I both kind of have resting face. Just looked at each other and I'm like, why is she looking at me like that?
Yeah, there's like, why does she have such an attitude?
Yeah, what the hell?
And so both of us, I think, were just like, no. And so we didn't really make an effort. But we, like, you know, slowly warmed up to each other because, you know, we were both friends with Katie and all that stuff. And then when we started working together, that's when we really became friends.
Yes, and somehow these two haven't ditched me yet.
We got here somehow. Bonded by a podcast. Binded.
We can never leave each other now. Yeah. It was my secret plan all along.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of our origin story as a group of friends and as musicians.
Yeah, I didn't realize we'd get personal with this too.
Getting to know us in a deeper and personal way.
Wow.
Okay, so you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and kind of on TikTok. We're slowly making our way onto there at Classical Baddies.
You can stream us on most of your favorite podcast services. So we're on Spotify, we are on Apple Podcasts, we are on Google Podcasts, and we are on SoundCloud.
Woo!
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to this episode.
Yeah, we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.